Appreciate all the music. A lot of it's been focused around the Bible, right with the theme. And I appreciate all the work of your music director and the choir and specials. Been a great blessing. Let me say something. I've noticed something with you people. You study your Bible. And it tells a lot about your pastor who preaches the Bible. And a lot of people discuss and have come to me with questions and information. And that speaks well about this church uses its Bible. And that's wonderful. Well, last night comes quick. Seemed like you just get started. And then, but I appreciate all the blessing, the accommodations, the good spirit, and you've been great to my wife and I, and I appreciate it. And it'll be weird leaving, you know, because I've enjoyed it. So thank you so much.
Amen. You got a good RV spot back there.
Yeah, we could bring our fifth wheel down here. You know, being up in the Northwest, I've been around the Puget Sound up there, and I read about here recently a guy that lost his wife in a scuba diving accident. And the next day he was greeted by two grim-faced policemen at his door. And they said, "We're sorry to call at you this hour, Mr. Wilkins, but we have some information about your wife." And so he didn't think it looked too good since she wasn't with him. And he said, "Well, tell me." He says, "Well, we have some bad news, some good news, and some great news. Which do you want to hear first?" He wanted to get the worst over. He says, "Well, tell me the bad news. I'm sorry, but this morning we found your wife's body in the bottom of the Puget Sound." And he was just overcome by emotion. And then he thought, they said some good news. He said, "What's the good news?" He said, "Well, we pulled her up and she had 2 5-pound lobsters and a dozen good-sized Dungeness crabs on her." He thought, "Well, that's weird. What's the great news?" He said, "Well, we're pulling her back up again tomorrow." That sounds like Washington State, doesn't it? Yeah. Okay, we got that over. Let's turn to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. And once you get to Psalm 119, then kind of put that little ribbon doohickey in there and get back to Psalm 19. And then, if you're able, let's stand as we read from the Word of God tonight. Psalm 19, verse 10. Of the Scriptures, the Bible says, "More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb." Now Psalm 119, verse 121, the psalmist says, "I have done judgment and justice, leave me not to mine oppressors. Be surety for thy servant for good, let not the proud oppress me. Mine eyes fail for thy salvation and for the word of thy righteousness," don't they? Oh, don't you need it sometimes? You just got to have it. "Deal with thy servant according unto thy mercy and teach me thy statutes. I am thy servant. Give me understanding that I may know thy testimonies. It is time for thee, O Lord, or time for thee, Lord, to work. For they have made void thy law." They attack the Bible, don't they? "Therefore I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. Therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way." Gives you clear discernment and understanding what's right and wrong when you have your Bible, when you study your Bible. Lord, thank you for the word tonight. Lord, help us as we again look at some key things to understand why you brought this King James Bible. And Lord, help us to grow not only in our appreciation of it, but in our knowledge of it and our study of it. Give me that unction again, I pray, from the Holy Spirit. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So the question will be answering tonight, why only the King James Bible for English readers? She said, well, that's what we've been looking at. Well, yeah, this is kind of a culmination, and we'll kind of wrap everything up a little bit tonight with what we've looked at and some other key areas that we need to look at. And so, you know, praise God for it. If nothing else, then I get across that you ought to thank God for what you have. Then I've accomplished something, okay? And so the Bibles God gave us 400 years. If that says alone enough to verify that God approves this book. Yeah. So by way of introduction, every word, and I started that with the first night, Sunday night, every word of God is important. Remember, the words were preserved. And so because of that, the devil attacks the very words to add or to change them. Yeah. And he causes questions to be raised of their veracity. That's what we're dealing with today. It's if you think about it, you know there's more behind it than the people doing research. There's a devil behind it. Look at these scriptures, Matthew 4:4. This tells you the importance of the Word of God. Jesus answers the devil. You want to deal with the devil? Give him the Bible. Verse 4, but he answered and said, Jesus says, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word, not just the word, every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. They're all important. Deuteronomy 4. In verse number 2, it says, ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you. In other words, don't add to it, don't take away from it. We've been talking, and we'll see more of that tonight, how they've been taken away from it. Then Proverbs 30. Proverbs 30. Verse number 5. Again, there it is. Every word of God is what? Pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee and thou be found a liar. I think God's pretty protective of his word, don't you? And so what about those who translated the scripture for us, that King James translating committee? As I said from the beginning, and I keep reenumerating this, but I think it's important, you got to remember some things that just keep emphasizing. They had a holy respect for handling the very word of God. They wanted to preserve it. These were ministering to us. They're servants to get us the Bible so we'll have a Bible we can depend on and trust. There were 54 scholars divided into six companies. This is so cool. And each part would be evaluated separately by, let's say we'll get to this in a minute. There's 9 in each company. And each one, they'd have a section, a couple verses, and they'd all go through them. Each page, they'd pass it along in each one. And then after they did that, the group of 9 would look over them again as a group. And then they'd give it to the other 9, one of the other 9 members of the committee, who would be passing theirs to another group, and they'd go around and they'd go through every 54 individuals, and then they'd go through each company, and then afterward the group would gather together and review what they had done again. You don't think they were careful? I don't see that kind of handling today. So I'm going to do something. I have 9 scribes, I noticed, in these first 2 rows here. Would you 9 scribes come up and help me? We're going to get an idea of what it might be like. I have 2 verses here from Matthew. You'll turn around and face the group. And don't look at them yet. Okay, just turn around and face the group. Get in a line here. Okay, everybody take one. Now, unlike them, I'm going to tell you there's 2 things that are wrong. There's 2 of these that have something wrong in them. you'll get a little feeling of what it was like for them. And so go ahead and read your verses. And then after you're done, how do we get 10? Somebody don't have one? Okay. That's okay. Go ahead and do what you got. I'm fine with this. Don't I have 9 people? I must have had 10. Sorry about that. Okay, so go ahead. And then when you get done, and if you don't see anything out of order, just pass, then go ahead and take yours and pass it around and move it this way, okay? If you see anything, fine, go ahead. Okay, anybody see anything? If you see anything, raise your hand. It looks out of order. Okay, go ahead and transfer yours down there. What's your name?
Addison.
Addison. Okay, Addison, take yours down to the end, and then you come back down here, and then pass all yours down. Everybody that had yours, pass it down. Pass it down this way to your right, okay? And then look and see if there's the other right, okay? And see if there's something different on it that you saw from before or something you see that's wrong. Now, even if they don't find it tonight, you'll understand the care that had to be taken because every word of God is pure. And these guys were wanting to make sure we got the Bible exactly as it is, okay? If you find something wrong, raise your hand. Okay. What'd you find? Nope, that's fine. Okay? That's fine. Okay? If you read them, let's go. Addison, you want to go down and do the same thing again. Okay? She gets to do all the work. Okay? Then pass them to your right. Okay? Okay, look at them. See if there's something. Okay, what do you see?
Blood's 10 years.
You're right. That's one of them. Instead of 12, it has 10. We got a mistake here. Uh-oh. It happened. Okay, that's great. What's your name?
Joseph,
you did good, okay? Anybody see anything different than maybe you saw before? Or something that's wrong, some word that's wrong? We got smart kids here. These are scribes now, okay? That's right. Some of them probably know Ugaritic, okay? If you don't see it, okay, pass it down. Thanks, Addison. And maybe he'll be smart and see. If you see something that's different, he saw the difference. There's one that's wrong word. You know, every letter was important. This mistake that I'm going to give him a hint, it has a one letter wrong. What is it? You're right. Whole. It says, for she said within herself, if I may touch his garment, I shall be whole. Supposed to be W-H-O-L-E. It's got H-O-L-E. Thank you. We got some good scribes here. I'll be honest, I did this in the office, and they couldn't find them. Okay, so. Thank you, scribes. Appreciate it. But that gives a little idea what the details they went through to give us our Bible. And you would discover the problems with that much research by these guys. Now, those today who translate the scriptures for us, and let me say, I'm talking about people that translate the scriptures for us on the King James Bible, had a respect, but these, there's people that translate them into other languages. We talked about that early in the week, and I appreciate that. They take the same care. They may not have as big a committee, but it is a ministry. They're trying to get into a language that no one has that Bible in their language. And so they take care. I mean, it's hard work. And they're trying to get it to the people that they're ministering to. However, those who want to make more English versions, again, it's for other reasons. Why do we need another one that God has blessed for 400 years and you want to get something new? Yeah. Sadly, it's for recognition and profit. Yeah. And again, the ministry, that's not for ministry. They're not ministering because they want to get the Bible to people. Yeah. Okay. That was free. So clearly, what we're dealing with today is it's the latter times. I was talking to a brother earlier. Man, it's just too obvious. There's too much going on. You say, well, you don't know the day nor the hour. No, I don't. But I know the era, and we're living in it. And Satan knows his time is short. All his efforts are trying to capture every corner of the media, the commerce, religion, and the Bible. He is a sicko, bloodthirsty hound. and understand that's what's going on. We are, can't you see the attack is, it's everywhere. Yeah. So this Bible battle, think about it. This is really interesting. It's been raging since the Garden of Eden. Notice what he attacked first. Hath God said? Yeah. And so it's nothing new. It's just maybe a little more concentrated effort now. And so that serpent, that the devil, he is a slime ball. My wife doesn't like me using that term, but I'm sorry. There's nothing better way to describe the devil, okay? So the subtle beginnings are now an all-out war we're dealing with. Just like in politics today, everything's at an increased level. And the devil and his crowd aren't even hiding their intentions to destroy the integrity of God's Word. The spiritual warfare is real. Look here in 2 Corinthians 2. Verse 17. I like how it's put here. Paul says, "For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God in the sight of God, speak we in Christ." I mean, we're given what God has given us. Now, interesting, the Greek word here, for corrupt, listen to the definition of this. It's merchants who corrupt his wares for dishonest gain. In other words, they're using it for financial gain. That's what it's about. And boy, it's money-hungry society. However, in the middle of this, God is keeping the record of the battle. That's what's great about it. It's not like God doesn't know what's going on. God is still in charge. He allows this stuff to go on. You say, well, it's terrible. Yes, it is. But he's also bringing about his final plan. And when he comes, we're going to say, man, there's nothing else. It's helped me, all the weird stuff going on, to understand that God's helping us as Christians find that our hope cannot be in America.
Amen.
Our hope is in the Lord.
Amen.
And not that I don't love America, but this world's not my home.
Yeah.
And so God's keeping record, and a warning is given to those who misuse his Bible and the transmission of it. You say, well, this applies to the book of Revelation. Yeah, it does. That's the direct context. But the other stuff we just read there in Deuteronomy, it also makes application. Look at this. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. And believe me, the primary application is the book of Revelation, but it's also a secondary application of this book in general. And so let's look at some things of significance related to the King James Bible. I like how the word significant synonyms, important, substantial, major, considerable, serious. This is serious. And so knowing this, you may have the question, well, why in the world would anybody then study Greek and Hebrew? A good question. We do have the Bible. And if I could never study Greek and Hebrew, I'd be satisfied.
Amen.
Okay? I have the Word of God. But there's also the advantage of having those languages for a pastor, especially. He's your leader, and he's doing a lot of study. The sheep are looking for insight, Bible wisdom, and areas that will speak to your soul, you know. And as I said, I think the other night, preaching is simply a communication of terms. And no better way than give greater explanation. And so much of the languages give greater insight into the text because that's the way God gave them originally. Nothing wrong with that. Okay, don't be upset with me because, God gave them that way for a reason. Okay, and I'll explain why. For instance, the word contend in Jude 3. Let's look in Jude 3.
I have a bad
Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. I think of a fighter or interesting, that Greek word for contend is an English word. Agonizo. What would be that English word?
Agonize.
Man, let me say, the battles we're in for the Bible today, there's some agony spent. I remember several years ago in an NFL playoff game, it wasn't the team that I was in favor of, but I admired, they had a tough running back. He had led the league in yards per carry, and pretty amazing. Anyway, they were going for the AFC championship or something. And he got hurt in the end of the first half. They took him aside, and they were over there working on him, and he came back out and played, and he had record yards in that playoff game. But they found out later in the second half, they told us later that he broke his leg. But he wasn't going to go out. He knew the team needed him, and he went in agony, played the whole game. Now, that's kind of a similar thing we're talking about. There's going to be some times you're going to get hurt.
Yep.
You're going to get under attack, but you got to contend. You've got to stand up for the truth. God needs His people to stand up. And you're going to get, hey, as the world gets weirder, you're going to stand out more when you stand for the truth. And you may get hurt. You may get a few punches. You may get a few broken things. But you stand up. I'm just saying spiritually, but you stand up and contend for the faith. So I say that can preach. The word love in English can mean a lot of things. But in Greek, they have four different words for love. That is so cool. I mean, does that accentuate the meaning? For instance, the word agape. You hear all kinds of stuff, but I remember studying about agape. It's not a being word. Love in English is a verb of being. We don't have an action word, but agape is an action word of love. Look at this: for God so loved the world that He what?
Gave
His only begotten Son. Bible says we're to love our enemies. Saying, "Wait a minute, preacher, that's going too far." I have some people, I mean, I want to reach them, but I don't love them. Well, Jesus did. He's not saying Philadelphia, phileo love. You have an emotional love for them. He's saying, do something good for them. Have some action. It doesn't mean emotionally you love them, but hey, take them to lunch. Witness to them. Be nice to the neighbor. Go out and mow their yard someday. It may be your enemy, but you'll reap some benefits. So anyway, so as I said, there's a lot of preaching in those things, and so that's why we say it. And then I mentioned tonight the poetic style of Psalm 119. And the beauty of that is wonderful. It's wonderful. And so there's blessings in that. You say, well, I can't take Greek and Hebrew. Don't expect you to. The archaic words, Genesis 49, we'll never understand until we get to heaven. They're heavenly terms. I mean, I've always wondered, Judah is a lion's whelp. What does that mean? You ever try to set? That Genesis 49 is tough. But listen to me. This is a book from the mind of the God Almighty. There's going to be things we'll never understand. But I'm going to try. Amen. As someone said, when you visit Israel, your Bible reading turns from black and white to color. When you study Greek, it kind of turns into word pictures. You'll see pictures of things you didn't see before. So, say, well, that's great, but I'm not going to study Greek. Well, we can still receive conviction and direction. How many got saved from hearing preaching from the King James Bible? Looks like that's pretty unanimous. I didn't get saved from some guy preaching the Greek Bible. I wouldn't have got saved. You know? But we can receive correction, direction, and conviction from our King James Bible because It's the very words of God. Yes, and we look at Hebrews 4:12 many times this week. The Word of God is quick and powerful. And it goes to the heart, doesn't it? Yeah. And understand the Bible is an exhaustive book. We can never go far or too far. You can't, I don't think there's anybody here going to overstudy your Bible. You're going to not dig too far. It's a wonderful book, and you're going to gain wisdom every time you get in it. So. However, God does want us to be students of the Word, not just your pastor, not just your Sunday school teacher. Every one of you scribes down here, okay? You need to be students of the Word. Study your Bible. And help God, you'll not only gain wisdom, you'll have understanding of the world. I mean, there's so much you gain from studying your Bible. So just like a serious-minded Bible scholar wisely studies Oriental culture and geography to come to a better understanding. That's what we do with the original languages. We're trying to get a better understanding, learn more about the Bible. You say, well, what about if I can't get Greek or Hebrew? Here's a couple neat helps. A lot of get your Strong's Concordance. That's good. It'll have a Greek and Hebrew dictionary in it. You can also buy a Vine's Expository Dictionary, New Testament Words. Let me say, in my study all the years, I'd refer to my Greek Bible maybe every couple weeks. Most of the time, I'd just dig out my Vines. It'd give me the meaning of that particular word in that context. Or you go to Wilson's Old Testament Words. It'll do the same thing. And they're good to have in your Christian library. And they're for English readers. It's really cool. So these references, as it were, they give meanings from the specific passages in their context. So it's good to have those tools in your Bible library. Amen? Y'all are looking at me weird. Okay, don't have that. Okay. So the next weird thing, what about the impact being Bible-less in the Dark Ages? If you study the Dark Ages, it's heart-wrenching. Weird. That's why they're called the Dark Ages. Think about the Dark Ages. You take the Bible from the world, and that's what you get. Dark, cold. Ugh. I mean, remember we talked about the Bible's light. Well, if you don't have the Bible, you don't have any light. Think about the Dark Ages. This is so weird. Oh, it's just a terrible time. Well, the problem was they didn't have the Bible. And think, 1,000 years happened and there was no advancement in literature, technology, medicine, industry, zippo, zilcho. What do you think is going on in America as we're turning away from the Bible? We were advancing. We were leaders in the world because we had the Bible and were proud of it. You know, and people wanted to hear what God had to say. We're turning away from God and we're going down the tubes. It's like we want the Dark Ages. Yeah. Those poor people had many small copies and small portions in hiding. Those in Christ lived in hiding in fear of persecution by, this always bothered me, why they call it the Holy Roman Empire. Or it should have been the Unholy Roman Empire. And they burned people at the stake if they even mentioned that you'd read a Bible, whether you had it or not. Guilty, guilty, no jury. It was much like the day of the judges. Remember, we talked about every man did that which is right in his own eyes. But the Bible says the word was precious in those days. Wow. Most people live without any Bible. Unbelievable. And those who had Bible may have had a portion for the most part. And they were thankful for what they had. I've often thought, if I was living there, what chapter would I Wish I had. That's hard to do. Which few verses would I wish I had? I don't know. I'm so blessed. I can't even imagine living in, under such conditions. Yeah. Then the Reformation came. What was happening? God was, in His providence, opening a time where He interjected Himself into the world by providing us the Bible through the King James guys. Yeah. He had to keep His plan on course. Think about it. He preserved His Word completely. Everybody got the Bible. You know, we can observe certain times in history where God interjected Himself into the times. I love studying history for that reason. Sad to say, in public school, they didn't... I raised in public school, and I'll be honest, when I was there, I disliked history. I thought, this is just a waste of learning all these statistics. They have no meaning. Then I went to Bible college and found that history really is God. And then I fell in love with history. I couldn't get enough, still can't get enough of history. It's incredible. But think about it, you know, the flood. God's doing. He interjected Himself into history. Moses in Egypt. Again, God interjects Himself into history for the people of Israel. The Apostle Paul. He interjects Himself to get the Apostle Paul so he can become a missionary and we hear the gospel. Yeah. Even recent history, the World War II, the establishment of America. I mean, I was studying World War II. You know how the weather for D-Day, the weather cleared from the British side so that we could land, or we wouldn't have never landed on D-Day. That was not accident. I mean, establishment of America so that the world could get the gospel and we could reach the world. You know, all those things, and of course. Again, back to the Reformation. Just like God says in Galatians 4, but when the fullness of time was come, at the right time, the exact time, God sent forth His Son. Just as Daniel 9:24-27 predicted the very year Jesus would arrive, and He did. I love that. Oof. Sends goose pimples up me thinking about, oh, God's Word is so great, you know. That's why they wanted to get rid of Daniel. Okay. And so let's tonight make some comparison of text omissions that are in the King James that are not in other versions. I'm not going to do an exhaustive study. Your preacher brought up some of that last night. And so there's certainly some vast differences from the King James to all these other weird ones. And like I told your pastor today, I haven't looked at the stuff at the ESV. It's pretty much the same thing. It's just the repeat of the same repeat of the repeat. It's Westcott and Hort, Westcott and Hort, Westcott and Hort. Just, you know. So anyway. So this will be interesting. Listen, passages comprise 5,337 changes by Westcott and Hort in our Bible to his. That's a lot. That's a lot of Bible. Remember I said, I think it was Sunday night or Monday night, maybe it was Monday night, even today they understand that all the different differences they found in all the manuscripts, it accounts for 1/1,000th of the New Testament. Well, they're making changes that aren't there to be changed. They even went further. So that's what I'm saying. They're trying to destroy our Bible. Okay. So Matthew 18:11. Let's look there. Some of you look at how many have memorized this verse when you were a kid? For the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. That's not there. It's excluded, that whole verse. So Christ's love for the lost is left out. It's gone. It's just not there. All those Bibles, they leave it out. Okay? Mark 6:11. Because I'm not going to be exhaustive looking at every one of these, but I just want you to get some idea of how crucial the verses they leave out. And whosoever shall not receive you, we're in verse 11, nor hear you when ye depart thence, shake off the dust under your feet for a testimony against them. Now that's where it ends in their versions. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. So the warning of God is left out. Don't put that in there. It's excluded. Mark 11:26. But if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. This whole verse is excluded. I mean, this is an important verse I've used in counseling many times. And it's effective. It's God's word. And they throw it out. Okay? Luke 24, verse 40. They're seeing the resurrected Christ to the disciples and says in verse 40, and when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. Whole verse is left out. Don't think that's kind of important? I mean, even says when Jesus comes back in power and glory at the end of the tribulation, they'll look on the one who they have pierced. And here, they got to throw that out of the Bible. 1 John 5:7, which we were talking about today. Says, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. Again, this whole verse is excluded. But I think it's P66, not P75 is the parts of a few verses of 1 John. P66 is the one they found. I think that is 1 John 5:7, papyri that was dug up, and with this verse, very early 2nd century at the latest papyri. And then, of course, the liberals were upset because they've been throwing this out, and they said, well, somebody made that up and drew it up. Yeah, right. I get, you know, that just that very attitude tells me they don't want people to have the Bible. Yeah. So as been mentioned, 16 whole verses are excluded in the Westcott and Hort Greek text, besides the dozens and dozens of whole phrases and sections. So just to give you a little idea of what you're missing nothing. You have the Bible. You don't need it. Okay. Now, also, there's passages which change or confuse Bible doctrine in these. You want to laugh because you don't want to cry. It's crazy, okay? We all know this truth that Jesus is the bright and morning star. Yeah, Revelation 22:16. Other place it's mentioned. However, in the NIV, Satan is the bright morning star. You get in Isaiah 14:12, the name Lucifer is left out and replaced with the morning star. Which is the name of Jesus in Revelation, we looked, 2:28, Revelation 22:16. Why would they want, why in the world would you even want to put something like that in there? Here's another one. The whole world knew about this. They'd be fixed. According to the NIV, David didn't kill Goliath. In 2 Samuel 21:19, it says Elhanan killed Goliath. You know what? I mean, you really mean that? Well, I like this. This person put this in. Is your Bible smarter than a fifth grader? Who killed Goliath? I mean, the lost world knows that. You watch Jeopardy and they bring that one up. They all know that one. Yeah. But apparently these great scholars didn't figure this out, you know. And, boy, anyway. Of course, we've talked about this, but it's really heart-wrenching. The virgin birth is denied in most of these corrupt Bible versions. Instead of virgin, they replace it with young woman or lead it to that. RSV, NIV, NAB, Revised Edition, and I imagine the ESV. I haven't checked it. I really don't know. Several others. Obviously, that is a blatant attack against the virgin birth. If Jesus was not born of a virgin, he's just a human, and he couldn't save anybody. Praise God. He had the miracle of virgin birth. He's God the Son. And when he went to the cross, he shed his precious blood that could pay for my sin. Because none of us can pay for our sin. If there's no virgin birth, we're all going to hell. We're wasting our time here. Yeah. Look at a couple of these here. The statements. See if I can read them. A young woman who is pregnant will have a son. Okay, that's pretty sick. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son. Well, that's a little better. A young woman, it just goes on and on. And so what am I saying? Obviously, a move to reject the doctrine of the virgin birth. And this has, this has nothing to do with the soundness of preserving the words of Scripture. It's an attack against God's Word. You can see where this is going. It's not that they're wanting people to have the Bible. They're wanting people to be confused and not believe that we have a Bible. So in conclusion, it has become clear, if you haven't figured that out this week, that the devil is attacking from all sides now. And as I mentioned, he must know his time is short. We must remember that this Bible is the weapon against his deceptions and temptations. Remember, Jesus answered the devil's temptation there in Matthew 4 with what? The Word of God. With the Bible. He attacks you, give him the word. He'll put his tail between his legs and head out. And when your preacher, or Brother McCracken usually does this when he starts a revival, he'll hold it up and he says, I'm reading from the, I'm trying to remember his words, the perfect, infallible, inerrant Word of God. Yes. And I appreciate when he does that. I appreciate his stand on the Word of God. I'm glad there's preachers that do that. And when he does that, next time he's here when he does that, everybody ought to just have a hearty amen, and he'll wonder, what in the world? He got something. But, so the Bible says, take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Stick it in him. Amen. Now, these many new versions... Let me go back a minute. You know, if you were the devil, what would you first want to use to keep people in the dark? Get them away from the Bible. Yeah. That's what he's doing. And so these many new versions are sending a subliminal message that the Bible cannot be trusted. But with the King James Bible, we can confidently know we have the preserved Word of God. Let's go back there to Psalm 19. And verse 10. I love how he puts it. The Scriptures are more to be desired than gold. Yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. So I've asked Brother John Yates to come help me. I have some gold here. It's a gold brick. It's so heavy. Man.
Let's hold this thing. Oh, man, it's heavy. You know, gold weighs a lot.
You want to come help us? Come here a minute.
Can I help? Let's give him this heavy gold. Come on, give it to him. Give it to him.
Not so heavy, is it? Okay, I don't have real gold. Thanks, guys. Someone painted it gold. Looks, it's, I think it's a Velveeta cheese box. I don't know. But Psalm 119, 127, he says, I love thy commandments above gold, yea, that fine gold. If you had 20 pounds of gold in your house, would you just leave it out on the middle of the, over by the front door on the little table there sitting as you went out? Would you leave it unattended? Now the Bible tells us this is more valuable than gold.
Amen.
Think about it. The Bible is both doctrinal and practical. I could give a whole list of stuff, but let me give these few things. It tells us how to be saved. It tells us how to walk after we're saved. It tells us how to have a church and how the church should be governed. It tells how to have proper government. It tells how to be a good husband or wife. It tells how to be good children. It tells how to be good parents. I mean, it tells us how to handle money. It tells us how to handle the things of God that He gives us. It tells us how to live. How to have joy. I mean, it covers, we don't need anything else. We got the Bible, you got it all.
Amen.
It covers everything a person needs to know to have life and eternity. Never forget to know how precious this Bible is. I mean, a block of gold? Yeah. I think it's worth a normal block of gold in Fort Knox. I think I read it was worth $728,000 now. That's quite a bit of money. I don't care if it was $2 million. This is more precious. You get to heaven, you'll remember how precious it is. Yeah. You know, there's a book written by a Presbyterian preacher or something, who got Alzheimer's. It's called My Journey to Alzheimer's. I think he pastored in Florida, I think it was. And it was one of those wild churches with the rock music and used all the weird versions. And this guy writes about his life as he had to resign and then he's sitting in church and as Alzheimer's was taking over him. He said he got to be where that music would just stir him up and drive him crazy. He'd have to watch his anger. He'd fly off the handle and it just drove him nuts. And so he looked in his old library. He had an old record of George Beverly Shea and had a bunch of the old hymns. And he'd start playing those and the old hymns would soothe him, you know, kind of ease some of the tension that he was going through. And then he said, I'd go in church and the preacher there would read from those versions that I used to preach from. And he said, they just didn't help me a bit. He said, in fact, they just irritated me. He went and found in his library and he found that old King James Bible that he used to use and pulled it out. And he said, man, the Bible was so soothing and comforting. And it was just what I needed to hear. Because it's the Word of God. How do you treat your Bible? Do you treat it like gold? Now, the focus this week has been on the Bible. But know that it affects everything in your life. We've seen it's like a sword, like a light, It's like dynamite, and then I is like gold. There's other similarities. I don't have enough days to preach here to discuss them. But the main thing is to understand it's so important for your life and your family. With so many varied areas to cover in life, should not your Bible be given a premier place in your home? Let's have an imagination here for a little bit in closing. Let's suppose the earth, has a major earthquake or something. Everybody dies. Some dust cloud goes over, kills everybody. I'm saying you got to have a real imagination here tonight, so bear with me. And then maybe, 100 years later, some aliens come in your land. And so they want to do some research and see what kind of people these people were. So they come into a home and they kind of look and they see the little furniture they had in there that they sit in, and they see where their tables are, and they kind of look at the alignment of the furniture and see, they seem to be pointing to something over here. This must have been their altar, what they were worshiping. Looks like some screen. Well, they must have bowed down to this screen and spent most of their time around this thing. It hits home to me too. What should be our altar? Should be the Lord. Ought to be the Bible sitting over there. What's most important to us, don't you think? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord, thank you for your word. Lord, we've had a great week to study it. I pray we not only have learned, but Lord, we'd apply this and take advantage of this precious word you've given us, this gold treasure we have. Bless this invitation tonight. Speak to hearts. And we pray you just take over right now. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together.
489.
489.